First Samuel chapter 5 at verse 1. I have shared from time to time that when my wife and I were visiting Israel for the first and only time, we had entered the court area there near the what's referred to as the Western Wall by some, the Wailing Wall by others. There were people in this court area, and there were those that were writing prayers on pieces of paper and inserting them in between the rocks there. Actually, it's not really a wall. It's actually the foundation of what the wall once stood on. And there were those that were dressed, I don't know if they were all Hasidic Jews, but they were in their garb and they were kind of parading for each other and putting on, just like you read in the Bible. And I was standing there and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I was observing and watching over here, and there was a young man rocking on this bench that he had a small prayer book, and he'd been reading, and he was rocking, and I thought, oh, this dude is about to get the Holy Ghost, I can tell. But some of the older gentlemen that were standing nearby, they were watching with concern, and I thought, uh-oh, they're going to come get you. You better back off. But I just was watching, and I was looking at that wall, and I wasn't sure what it is that I'm, what am I supposed to do here? And all at once, I felt the Holy Ghost speak to me and say, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm not coming back in this way anymore, but you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, according to the Word of God. Well, out of protest, I just backed away from the wall. I never even touched it. Got on a plane a few days later and we flew home. I've never forgot that. Brother Kendrick. Oh, there we go. And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it in from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. Oh, I'm going to keep reading. Oh, sorry. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it unto the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold, only the stump of Dagon was left to him. The Ark of God represents the presence of God. And when the presence of God was among the people of God, it brought great blessing. When the Ark of God was brought before the Philistine people, it meant trouble in their camp for their cause, before their gods. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We were in our pause meeting here, that prayer and fasting meeting that some of you attended. I'd received a text from Bishop Wright Chester Wright. He was in Italy at the time. They were celebrating their 50th anniversary, but he'd also stayed and agreed to meet with a friend of mine. And he was in great, great pain. Something had happened in his leg. He tore his something. And he was in so much pain, he could hardly get around. And so it was becoming a very miserable trip for he and his wife. Well, he texted us and he said, "I'm in so much pain, I'm thinking I'm going to cut my trip short and go home." And he hadn't had this meeting yet with my friend. And as we were here praying, some of you remember, I communicated a text to him and said this: "In your painful and afflicted state, your being there is doing more to affect the spiritual climate there than what you know." This was an inspiration. It came to me to communicate to him. He stayed. They had their meeting, and then he went home on his scheduled time. My wife and I were to spend a couple weeks just kind of vacationing, spending time together, just enjoying the sights and the places. And that was our schedule. And then at the third week, we were to meet with the Guzman family, and we were to be involved in their work there and in the services. And something really strange happened. Now, I really didn't intend to share this with you today until we got into that second song. But when we hit the ground in Milan, we started through the airport, and I wanted to get my wife her first cappuccino in Italy. And so I said, "You just stand right here with the bags, and I'll go get the get you a cappuccino." And I go step up into the line, and there is no line. It's a mob of people to the register, and I'm trying to figure out how to manage and manipulate this. And anyway, finally, I get somebody to wait on me. But what you do in the first line is you just pay for the cappuccino. Now you got to go get the cappuccino. And if you think that was a mob, wait till you get over here. And there's people behind the counters, and they're throwing these little cups everywhere. And there's people, no line. They're just pressing like this and kind of dodging around each other, because you got to put your receipt up on the counter for them to see what you bought so they can serve you. I don't know where they come up with that from. It was not pleasant. It might have been traditional for them. It was not pleasant. They're speaking Italian. I don't speak Italian. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what to say. So I just stood there. As the crowd kind of whittled down and changed, I could tell they were watching me. They were looking at me, but they were not acknowledging me. So I looked over and I watched. They're all slapping their receipt on the counter. And it was like begrudgingly, this lady comes and takes the receipt. I'm like, "I paid for that coffee. You're supposed to serve me." Well, all I hear, she never looks at me again. She gets the coffee and she slaps it on the counter and steps away. And all I hear is something about that American. There was a problem. And this is my first taste on the ground in the airport still. Or in the train station or wherever we were at. No, that was on the ground at the airport. Anyway, I take the coffee to my wife, the cappuccino. I'm wanting her to experience and enjoy. And I'm half mad already. I just got there. And what started didn't go away. And after a while, my wife is asking me, I'm talking about after a day, are you okay? Are you enjoying this? You don't look like it. And I said, honey, I'm dealing with so much spiritual resistance, and I don't know what this is all about. It is pressing on me. It is pressing against me. It's pushing up against me. It's in my face. I know. I felt it before. I knew what it was. I should come figure out why. Well, a couple of days into it, we were going for a walk around the city, and we'd have some direction from a restaurant owner. Go to this certain area, and we agreed and went, and the strangest thing happened. This is 2 days under this pressure, and I'm just looking for some relief and wondering how we're supposed to enjoy this. Well, I had a hard time. I had a hard time talking civil to my wife. I was under that much pressure. So we're walking down this sidewalk, going down to this area to see these canals. And the crowd has thinned out a little bit, but there's 7 or 8 people. We're all walking together, and one lady's got an English bulldog on a chain. Yeah. Well, that's okay. You know, we're just walking. Not bothering me. Here we got to the light. We got to an intersection. We're going to have to cross the road, and there's about 8 people standing up, and the bulldog looks up at me and goes, "Ruff." Then he kicks it up a level or two. Ha! The lady looks down, looks up at me. The crowd looks at me like I'm a criminal and the dog has identified me. I'm not guilty. And the dog lunges out to the end of his chain. At me. There's 8 people there. And she says, "I don't know what's wrong. He's never done this before." Well, he lunges at me again. Now he's at the end of his chain, and I'm thinking, "Let's take a step back." I didn't say anything. I tried my best not to respond, just to ignore, because it was like everything was escalating spiritually at this moment. The light changed, thank God. And she's dragging the dog across the road saying, "I don't know what's come over him. He's never done this before." Come on, dear, let's go. Let's go this way. Let's not go that way. It was that night that we went to meet with Brother Roy Relaceva and his family, people we met in the Philippines that I preached for last time I was in Italy. We went and had a wonderful dinner, and it's like, wow, it just kind of all went away. I thought, wow, let's just stay with them the rest of the time. It was a day or so. I think it was just another day. We got on a train, went to Florence, Italy. And when we got to Florence that night, I laid awake all night long. And I, about 4:30 or so, I woke my wife and I said, I'm going to go up to that square by that museum we were at, and I'm just going to go pray. Because I feel this all over again beginning to build, and I'm thinking, we came here to rest, relax, enjoy this, be together. Is this necessary? I went walking and praying, and now get this. At no moment in this entire time do I feel to engage spiritually and do battle. At no time. But only to be. A few days, those details aren't important. But we ended up getting on a train going to another town called Siena. And when we get to Siena, we're thinking this is going to be the highlight of the trip. We'd looked into some agritourism places, and I was excited about getting out in the country and away from the city, and it was really that way by this time. And so my wife had made arrangements for us to stay in a place that she knew I wanted to go to, this farm. They were going to be in harvest. What a great experience this would be! And so we get to the train station, and the guy says, "Now, when you just get to the train station, just call me and I'll pick you up." Well, that's kind of, yeah, and that's nice. So we call, and he shows up in this very dirty car, in shorts and a t-shirt. And I'm thinking, is that how you would do this? I started talking with him in the car. As soon as I get in the car, I'm like, I'm comfortable. There's something weird about this. This guy's weird. And we just committed to stay at his house. I read all the reviews. I looked at the website. And I'm thinking, he ain't a farmer. He's not harvesting this place. I wonder who he is. Maybe he's going to kidnap us. Well, we get out to the place, and I'm listening really close to all the details because I'm trying to figure out, is this guy legit? Is he farming this place? Off the end of the pavement, down this dirt road, up the mountainside, around to this World War II building. Two-level, two-story. It looked neat in the pictures. But there wasn't anything that felt good when we got there. My wife started sweeping up the bedroom floor and got a pile this big. My wife says, you know, the guy said, now look, you're staying upstairs, but there'll probably be some other people staying downstairs. And I'm thinking, so they got a different door, right? My wife, she goes down the stairs. She says, honey, there is no door. There's no lock. You walk right into the other place. Now we're checking the locks on our bedroom door. And she's putting chairs up against it. Well, he convinced us, you should probably rent a car, because if you're going to go around and look in the countryside, you'll need a car. Yeah, okay. He said, I'll give you a ride to the car at 4:30. Commute time. We get in the car. The roads are this wide. Everybody's going home. They're all behind me. And they're pushing, shoving, honking, beeping. I'm pulling off and saying, what's wrong with these people? They're rude. I took the car back the next morning. Now, let me give you some more details here. What in the world? I told my wife, I said, we can't separate ourselves from this. This is who we are. That night, I laid awake from midnight to 5. She fell asleep. I was enjoying listening to her breathe. At least somebody was getting some peace. Spirit of God began to talk to me about this journey, this trip. And at 5 o'clock, it lifted. 5 a.m., it lifted. I laid there till 6 o'clock. And this is what I believe the Lord began to talk to me about. These are the princes of these cities, and I have brought you before them. But not to do. Don't do anything. Just be. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Just be. I will do. I will fight the battle. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know there was a battle. We're on vacation. now this is a week long and I am miserable. I can't give you all the details of everything, but there was a man that I had contacted that I felt like I needed to contact from Sicily, and he was out of the country, but when the 5 o'clock hour came and that spirit lifted, this is the third go around now, he sends a text. Very positive text. Kind of a surprise, but it was like, something's happened. Something's changed. Something has spiritually shifted here. Well, my wife had made a purchase the day before in Florence, and when you make a purchase, you have to give them your passport. The lady didn't give the passport back. So her passport was in Florence. We had agreed that I would get on the train, go back to Florence, get her, and she said, I'll just stay here. By that morning, I said, you're not staying here. We're getting out of here. I'll buy the tickets on my phone. Let's get on the train and go. And so we did, and we went. So now we're back in Florence. We're trying to enjoy ourselves. And so now it's time to go to Torino. We get on a train and we go to Torino, and now we are engaged in ministry. And engaged we were. And ministry there was. It was positive. The worship service with the Guzmans was deep. It was powerful. There was an anointing upon the people as they worshiped and sang unto God. And then we ministered and then spent a few days talking, advising, teaching, whatever. And at one moment, we had, I think, 3 days left. And I said, I'm going to make contact with, there's a UPC guy here in Torino by the name of Platania. I'm going to contact him, see if he'll respond. And so I connected with him. He responded. Then he started texting. He wouldn't stop texting. Then he said, let me call you. I said, well, I'm in a meeting right now. He called anyway. Wow. Okay. So we talked and we agreed, let's get together tomorrow and so for coffee, and did. And then he brought his whole family, ended up going to dinner. It was, man, it was great. I got home 11 o'clock that night and I said to my wife, man, this thing has just gone up a notch. Something's going on here. God has opened a door that was not there. Are you hearing me? While I'm at dinner with them, he says, have you met Pastor Giacalone in Milano? I said, no, I did see his name, and I was going to make contact when we're going back to Milan in a couple days. Oh, he picks up his phone, he dials, and he gets Pastor Giacalone on the phone. Pastor Giacalone, he's the assistant general superintendent of Italy. And it's like, he has the phone to me. Oh, I wasn't ready for that. Hi. He starts talking to me. And he starts apologizing for not having me come and preach. Because he had somebody else scheduled. And I'm thinking, we haven't even met. I know you. And it's like God's taking the door and going, whoo. So I said, we're going to be over there in 2 days. I'll text you and make contact. I did. We did. He says, I'll come and meet you wherever you want to meet. I'll set aside the day. This ain't that important. I was thinking coffee. Well, he came. We went and walked the city for 2 hours. There was such a flow that went on between us. It was amazing. He said, where are you going next? I said, I got to get a hotel over by the airport. We're flying out early in the morning. We're leaving. He said, if my car's big enough, let's get your bags, put it in the car, get your wife. I'll drive you out there. Are you sure? Yeah. He takes us to lunch. He takes us by the church. He's driving us out and out of this hotel and says, you know, we got a group out here by the airport. He started like 12 congregations. We got a group out here by the airport, and they've got a nice little building we just bought. And they got a meeting tonight. Any chance you would want to come? Speak? Well, if you want me happy to. What in the world? There's so much background to this, I don't have the time to tell you all about it. But it was not it wasn't forward, it was opposition. Now, there is not one ounce of opposition with each person I have met now. So, I'm thinking, okay, pick me up, I'll be there, we'll do something. And I'm telling you, God moved in a way. There were men coming out and falling face first in the altar sobbing. God moved in such a miraculous way. I'm thinking, you can't orchestrate this. But it took, you know, the meeting with Brother Platania took our visit up to here. Then by the time I got done through the day with Pastor Giacomo, it went up to here. And then by that nighttime, I couldn't believe it. We went and got on the plane. Reminds me of our first trip to Florida that time. Listen to me, somebody here. Especially you. It's not the doing, it's the being. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Where's your wife? Sister. Let's pray together. Jesus. It's a work that only you can do, Father. We are empty and undone, Father. Without you, we can do nothing. Vessels alone. Vessels alone, Father. It's your mighty hand, Father. In the name of Jesus. Come on, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. Brother and Sister Mason, I want you to just stand, if you would, here. And I'm asking for the elders in the house if they would come. Why don't you move up just a little bit? And we're gonna anoint you. We just stand. Listen to me. We're praying for Brother and Sister Mason. But if you're here, and your spirit bears witness with the things that I'm communicating to you, feel free, come and stand in this front area, presenting yourself as a vessel before God. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Come on, it's His quickening power that lives within you, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it's not through wisdom. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 Let me share this one last detail with you. 10 years ago, when the Guzmans went to Italy, felt the call to go there. After I had made one visit, I sent Brother Hart to go there, and he went, and there was a meeting that they had. And because of the individuals that were in this meeting, it brought negativity back through the organizational piece. We got calls from the Foreign Missions Division asking us not to go. And for 10 years, we did not. And I'm telling you, God has just swung a door wide open. Scripture says he'll set before you an open door that no man can shut. Let's pray again. Come on, let's pray again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now, some of you maybe, I know some of you are not aware of this, but Sister Mason has been denied entrance back into Kiev, where they've been living. They're leaving here tomorrow, going back to Baku, Azerbaijan. This is why they're here right now. Now, there's a shifting. I'm telling you, there's a shifting. And he's going to give you a platform that only he can give. It'll be a platform. We need to pray again. Come on, let's just pray. Father, we stand yielded to you. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Don't do, just be. Come on, Dagon don't have a chance. Dagon will be on his face. He'll be broken down. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Just stay in a spirit of prayer here for a few more minutes. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Any individual in the room who's ever questioned, why am I here? Why did you place me here? Why does it seem like everything around me is falling apart, but yet you haven't opened any other door? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. This word's for you today. You ought to step out from where you're at, make your way to the front of this place, and receive a word. Receive the word today. In the name of Jesus. In In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, itarorobo shetaya la la baha, inororobo tiara raba kiata ye la la baha ye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, itarorobo tiata ye. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the last couple of minutes, the Holy Ghost impressed this scripture upon me from the New Testament. I believe it was Paul, maybe, that wrote this, but he referenced back to Moses and Aaron's interactions with Pharaoh. You know the story. God sent, they didn't go on their own accord. God sent Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh, and he told them what to do, and he put the miraculous in their hand. And then when they got there, they did their thing, and Pharaoh said, Janice Jambres, come here. Watch this. And they did their thing, and as a man of God, I can almost feel the air leave the room for Moses and Aaron. Are you kidding me? Seriously? You sent us here to be showed up by a couple of devil clowns? That went on for two or three plagues, but the scripture says, that as, Paul wrote this way, as Janice and Jambres withstood Moses. That was what he said. They withstood him for a season of time. But you've got to go back to the Old Testament to read the end of the story. At some point, God said, yeah, okay, that's it. That's it. And Moses and Aaron entered into a dimension. They entered into an operation of spiritual ministry that the enemy couldn't touch and the enemy couldn't match. That's what we heard about here today. Withstanding, resistance. But when God says it's done, it's just over. He opens the door, we walk through it, and his plan and purpose begins to be fulfilled. I want us one more time all across this room. If you need to leave, you're more than welcome to. But I believe that there are people in this room today who have been withstood for long periods of time. And you've known you're in the plan and purpose of God for your life. And God has even confirmed that to you. But you've been withstood for so long. You've been on the brink of giving up and throwing in the towel and just, this isn't worth it. God has given you a word today. It's a word of confidence. And I believe that from this day forward, there's a shift. And God is getting ready to do what it is he planned to do. He's drawing a line in the sand. I want you to lift up your voice right now and just reach out to him. Talk to him. Let him encourage you. Let him empower you. Let his spirit do a work right now in you and through you. By his power and authority. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your power is making us victorious. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for my answer today, Father. I thank you for the answer to the question. In the name of Jesus, you have strategically placed me. You have strategically placed me, Father, for your kingdom. Not necessarily for my comfort, but for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. I wonder if you just lift up your voice and rejoice for a few moments right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, our spirits are full. Our spirits are thankful. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hatororobashitiatararabai. Inororomasatararabaye. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Bishop, for sharing that word with us today.
Child, I have called you by name. I have chosen you to take my light across this world. Only know that as you stay in the center of my presence, as you are led by my voice and by my mighty hand, I will show my glory. I will show my face in a greater way than you have ever known or you have ever imagined. You will see the glory of the Lord descend. You will not have to fight, but you will know that I am fighting for you, says the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
One more time, just thank the Lord for his voice, his confirmation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your direction is sure, Father. Your voice is clear. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. It almost feels counterproductive to leave an atmosphere like this. As Bishop mentioned, Brother and Sister Mason will head back in the morning to the land.